Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 710 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Kelvin Enfinger, new voice to the show. You've not heard him before. He is the Vice President of Green Hut Construction. He is also the chairman of the Associated Builders and Contractors of North Florida. You sometimes hear them referred to as ABC. Kelvin, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I appreciate you having us on.
Absolutely. Great to have you. Okay, let's start with basics. What is ABC? What do you do? People have heard of HBA. They've heard of the Home Builders Association. Not the same entity, but this is why I ask, because people may have no idea.
Well, thanks for asking. Associated Builders and Contractors is the voice of commercial construction. So, you know, we operate under the parent association out of D.C., where we have roughly about 23,000 members nationally. Our association is really based on the merit shop philosophy. And we are that voice of commercial construction across the U.S. In the state, we are the largest commercial trade association in the state of Florida. And that's broken down into five regional chapters, and that's how you get to Associated Builders and Contractors North Florida that I proudly represent this year as the 2024 chairman and the honor of serving on the state board as chairman in 2025. Looking forward to that.
So anybody who works on, and you correct me any part of this I get wrong, anybody who works on, you know, commercial construction, you guys are sort of like the representative entity that they are members of. You are their voice when it comes to legislation or when it comes to, you know, their issues and concerns. You're kind of the, they're part of your organization in an effort to, you know, better get their values and their goals accomplished. Am I sort of in the right vicinity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the national organization does a fantastic job of representing the commercial construction industry up on Capitol Hill. From the state side, we do a phenomenal job with our lobbyists representing and defending the commercial construction industry in Tallahassee. And then that gets broken down into your local chapters where you see areas like ABC North Florida representing commercial construction at the local level.
So the reason I wanted to have
what you see our members building, Andrew, is, you know, our members are out there in the community essentially building your K through 12 schools, higher education facilities, your churches, hospitals. That's what our members are working on. They're part of this community, working in it each and every day.
I was basically thinking, you know, everything, housing is one thing and then commercial is the other thing. But I wasn't even thinking about institutional construction like you're talking about. But that makes perfect sense because, again, that's non-housing. Okay, so the reason I wanted to have you on today, Kelvin, is because your organization has become the subject of a smear campaign, or criticism campaign, if you prefer, by the PAC, who is endorsing James Caulkins, is very closely connected to him. And I just want to read from an email that came out recently. The email says, ex-Democrat Rhett Rowell is backed by Democrats, Washington, D.C. lobbyists and special interests using their funds to advance a liberal agenda in Santa Rosa County. When Commissioner Caulkins stood firm against illegal immigration, another commissioner confronted him, warning of backlash from developers displeased with Caulkins' stance. These developers have chosen their puppet, Rowell, as their candidate. They prefer spineless politicians like Rowell over principled leaders like James Caulkins, who stand up for our values. Developers seeking access to illegal immigrant workforce upset with Caulkins' stand against illegal immigration was one of the things that they put up in their mailer, and they got a picture of sold over Rhett Rowell and for sale and money and all of this stuff. And then it goes into a litany of illegal immigration statistics and how James Caulkins is against illegal immigration. And apparently you guys are in favor of it. I wanted to give you a chance to respond to this. Let's just say stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is the shameful side of politics when this kind of stuff happens and you get misrepresentations from candidates who I believe get just absolutely desperate to get reelected. That email went out to a lot of voters in Santa Rosa County on July 31st, and it had some very gross misrepresentations as to what our association is, what our industry supports, and what our association supports. So our legal counsel responded around August the 2nd with a cease and desist letter to the America's First Alliance that is essentially ran by James's grandmother, Judith Sorensen. We have yet to hear back from Judith, James, or anybody from America's First Alliance at this point. But that, you know, I think that email begs the question: has James Calkins turned on developers? Is it a ploy that he's using to mislead the Santa Rosa voter and believing that he is now the anti-development guy? Or is James just simply against the construction industry? I'm not sure, but I know that the commercial construction industry has a significant impact in Santa Rosa County and the surrounding communities. So when you make an attack on an association that represents the men and women that are working in our communities every day, I think you have to take a step back and consider what you said and how have you hurt your community and how have you hurt the industry? Because I don't know if James knows it or not, but the commercial construction industry is actually the highest paying employer, according to the 2022 census report for Santa Rosa County.
You know, I see a lot of nonsense in our elections. There's just a lot of silliness in our elections. But I saw this and I thought, my God, you know, just it's so anyway. And because, you know, somebody sends out a mailer and then how do you have the ability to really respond to all of that? That's why I wanted to give you a little bit of a platform in this particular case. How did your members how'd that make them feel when they saw this come out?
Well, I can tell you the members I've spoken with are certainly disgusted by it. It's not our position. We've never supported illegal immigration. We don't represent developers. It's just that's not our position at all. I mean, we are for, you know, immigration reform. We are supportive of what Governor DeSantis does. We've endorsed Donald Trump for this election cycle. So we are supportive of finding a way to make sure that our immigrants can come here and work and work legally. That's always been our position. It's never changed. So I'm not sure where James has found his information from, but it is absolutely incorrect and quite disgusting, to be honest with you.
Well, Kelvin, that's why I wanted to give you a chance to respond here to something that you shouldn't have to really respond to, but, you know, when somebody gets their name dragged through the mud inappropriately in political season, if it's not another candidate, I mean, candidates can fight for themselves, but if it's a, you know, a trade industry that is building our buildings and employing our people and providing for what we need, you know, I'm going to give you a chance to talk about it. Kelvin Enfinger, he is a vice president at Green Hut Construction, also chairman of the Associated Builders and Contractors, ABC, of North Florida. Kelvin, thanks for a couple of minutes this morning, man. I appreciate it, sir.
Andrew, thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And by the way, thank you for what you do, because I know that, you know, kids need schools and parishioners need churches and customers need, you know, businesses to be able to go in and buy stuff. And so I appreciate the work that you guys put out. It's impressive stuff. Kelvin, again, thank you so much. 717 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. No accidents to let you know about right now. Everything's flowing smoothly. I-10. On I-10, if you're just a little south of Pine Forest Road, we're starting to see minor delays, maybe about a five-minute delay rolling through the Highway 29 change there. Other than that, traffic flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
You know, we're just spending a little bit of time talking about the commercial side of real estate. On the residential side of real estate, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are just, I mean, outstanding at this. And what do you want when you hire a realtor? You know, I mean, you think much about it. I mean, a lot of times you just kind of hire the person that you know, or, you know, you got your brother-in-law who does real estate, or, you know, somebody in your church or whatever. And that's fine. Okay, that's fine. But what are you hiring in a real estate agent? You want expertise. You want diligence. You want, you know, personability. You want somebody who's going to get you the best amount of money either side, whether that's buying low or selling high. You want somebody who's going to get you all the way through the finish line and be able to work through any of the speed bumps or hurdles that you come across in that process. That's Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. 40 years of combined experience, 175 homes sold last year, 3.5 a week. Every other day. Home sold. I mean, that's kind of amazing, that really, when you think about it, especially because, like, her background is in news. And then she started doing this a few years ago, and all of us who were friends thought, well, if anybody can do it. But a lot of people try real estate and it doesn't work out for them. It has really worked out for her because she's got all of those characteristics, dedicated excellence, getting to know people and, you know, making friends and talking to them about real estate. And she's honestly kind of a nerd about real estate. And she would say that. I'm not saying a bad thing. That's a good thing. And she would say it about herself and has said it. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever feel powerless? Powerless to change your circumstances? So did the man at the Pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. This man had an infirmity that rendered him powerless for 38 years. Do you know what changed everything for this man? It was the day he met Jesus. The powerless man met the powerful Son of God. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately this man picked up his bed and walked for the first time in 38 years. I don't know what it is that's making you feel powerless, whether it's financial, physical, or relational, but I do know that the all-powerful God can meet your need if you'll put your faith in Him.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi neighbors, I'm Colton Wright, your current Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. Thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Public safety has always been my first priority, and I've made sure our sheriff's deputies have the pay and equipment they deserve. I've worked hard to improve our roads and infrastructure, improve our parks, supported Whiting Field, and I brought new jobs to our area. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships that benefit all of Santa Rosa County. Please re-elect me, Colton Wright, on August 20th.
Paid for and approved by Colton Wright for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 5.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Sorry, Dr. Smith's love, but I'm really not at liberty to discuss this.
It's interesting, John, you and I were talking in the break, and I asked you, you know, what'd you think about that that interview, that response to this ridiculous hit piece that the PAC supporting James Caulkins put out, and you said...
I got the mailer.
Yeah, because you live in Milton
right.
vicinity, right? So you got the mailer you had seen, and did you appreciate being able to hear from
I did, because I looked at it, chunked it, but it was good to hear that side.
There's so... some of the things you see in political season are just so obscene. And, you know, look, the Dimmick versus Gates stuff is just, do we not have like, you know, actual issues and experience we can talk about?
Exactly.
I mean, all of it is so obscene. But that's, you know, I guess that's current politics. But this, I saw this and I thought, my God, no, what in the, anyway, 723 on News Radio 92.3, Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, good morning. North Carolina is bracing for heavy rain and possible tornadoes from Tropical Storm Debbie. That deadly storm is still hanging around. It made its second landfall in the U.S. overnight. It blew into South Carolina with 50-mile-an-hour winds and a lot of rain. Forecasts say by this evening, Debbie will be in North Carolina, where residents there are being told to prepare for flood conditions and possible tornadoes. Taylor Swift is canceling her concerts in Austria this weekend because of an alleged terror plot. The Austrian officials say two suspects were taken into custody yesterday, including a 19-year-old Austrian citizen who allegedly pledged allegiance to the leader of the Islamic State. And sports fans, the 2024 Python Challenge is kicking off in the Glades in just a matter of days. The 11th annual competition is basically they designed this whole thing to remove the invasive Burmese python from the state's ecosystem because they pose a threat to native wildlife. The snakes are doing quite well living in the Glades, and of course they're not native to that area. So if you're a participant, you must find and kill the snakes within one of the seven eligible areas in order for the entry to be accepted. Cash prizes are going out to the contestants who catch the most and the biggest pythons, and nearly 200 pythons were removed last year. The challenge begins tomorrow and runs through August 18th, and that's your headlines.
Thanks so much, Steve. Yeah, I also hear that the pythons have their own challenge. It's $6,000 per human they catch. The biggest one gets an extra large prize of a stomachache. 724 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Oh, this is kind of a cool thing that's happening a little bit later on this morning. The tiny home village that Jim Reeves is a part of, they're going to be ribbon cutting. And this is a really neat thing because this is, remember over there on Pace and Blunt where they had to annex it into the city because the county doesn't allow the tiny homes and the city does, and that's kind of sad that the county prohibits tiny homes, but that they are opening this thing, and it's meant to be housing for people who have aged out of, foster care. Because, you know, a lot of you're in foster care, and then all of a sudden you're too old to be in foster care, and then what? And these are not all people who can, you know, just go out and fully take care of themselves in a regular environment. So the tiny homes are like a transitional. I think it's a really neat project. Anyway, that's going to ribbon cut later on today, and I'm looking forward to seeing those tiny homes. That's the cool thing. 7:25, we've got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. To I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly, just seeing a minor backup right around Highway 29 and I-10. Also got an accident at Brent Lane and Rawson Lane. No road blockage, just off to the side of the road, but I wanted you to be aware of it. I'm John Pickens with a look at traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. What was the other thing that I was going to tell you about? It just went straight out of my brain there. Oh, yesterday in the Olympics? Now, some of the track and field events capture my attention. Some do not. Okay? At one time in my life when I was a kid, I probably cared more about the discus and the javelin and the high jump. And I know they're fun. If you watch them, that's great. I'm not downplaying. I'm just saying it hasn't captured my attention. I never care about distance running. Even distance swimming, I'm like, fast forward. Oh, there's the finish, you know? Like, distance running never captivates me because I've done some running and I never want to do it again. But the 1,500-meter men's was an amazing thing to watch yesterday.
Look at the Americans on the bell lap. Yaron Nagus, Cole Hawker.
Cole Hawker for America is in fifth place coming around the final curve. And then he's in third place. And he's trying to pass on the inside, and the leader impedes him. This you can do. He's just hoping for a bronze. An Olympic record time, and he got kind of like, I won't say pushed back, but kind of pushed back by the leader into what I thought was maybe going to be third place at best. And then in the last, you know, couple of hundred feet or so, he just kicks in, passes him on the inside again to gold. What? What? How do you have that much left in you after you've run an almost mile? The other one that was so much fun to watch was almost identical, except for there wasn't the bumping, okay? Because in the 400-meter, you're in your own lane. There's no bumping. But Quincy Hall was running in the 400-meter men's final. And again, I'm going to let you hear the whole thing, but you got to keep in mind that coming around to the stretch, he was in fourth place.
Set.
It's the final of the men's 400 meters. Let's go!
So this is a staggered start. It's kind of hard to tell where people are at because they're not all starting at what seems like the same place. And this is coming around the back, and Hall's just kind of like in the middle of the nothing, middle of the pack. coming around the final stretch, coming around the back lap. He's in fourth. In the last 100 meters, he ran it like he was running the 100 meter. A just ridiculous kick and takes gold. What? So two of the more fun track and field events that took place. I know there were other ones as well, but those were the ones that captivated my attention. And so those are the ones that I share with you because I thought they were just amazing. What else do we have going on? Dragon Boat Festival comes up October the 12th, 10th annual Dragon Boat Festival. It's always fun. If you've never been, it's entertaining. It's exhausting. The one thing I always notice is in the first race, they're all real eager. In the second race, you're like, they're still doing it. It's exhausting. But you can enter a team or become a sponsor now. It's always a good fundraiser event. Northwest Pensacola Sertoma Club hosting up to 40 teams. You get more information at newsradio923.com. As always, we have Bands on the Beach coming up next Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Always keep Bands on the Beach in your entertainment possibilities. It'll be the Astronauts performing at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion out on the beach at 7. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. We're going to have local news coming up next, and then we'll talk to Mike Wood, the public information officer from the Pensacola Police Department. What is National Night Out? He'll tell us.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Arrested in Vienna, Austria, a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old accused of planning to kill as many people as possible with knives or homemade explosives outside a Taylor Swift concert.
A tragedy has been prevented, says Austria's interior minister, Gerhard Karner. Austrian security officials say they found Al-Qaeda and ISIS material at the home of the younger suspect, and that the older one fully confessed his plans. All three sold-out concerts this week have been cancelled.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Republican VP candidate J.D. Vance accuses the Democrats' running mate Tim Walz of falsely suggesting he's served in combat and of ducking the war in Iraq.
I'd be ashamed if I was him and I lied about my military service like he did.
Vance served in Iraq as a Marine military journalist. Walz served 24 years in the Army National Guard, then retired in 2005 to run for Congress months before his unit was sent to Iraq. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning at 7:31, 82 degrees right now and clear. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. The proposed hotel at Pensacola's Community Maritime Park will be a reverb by Hard Rock Property. It would feature more than 125 hotel technology-enhanced rooms, a full-service restaurant, rooftop bar, lobby bar, lounge, quick-service restaurant, and fitness center. The design team includes Gensler and Kravitz Design, which is a design firm headed by music and style icon Ketla Lenny Kravitz. The Pensacola City Council is expected to hear that proposal today, which also includes an apartment complex and a retail center located next to the Blue Wahoo Stadium. The Wedgewood Community Center in Escambia County has remained closed since a mass shooting there on July 28th. Two people were killed and five others were injured near a pavilion outside the center. The Wedgewood Neighborhood Association managed the center, but the county has now taken control because of security concerns. Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno told Channel 3.
After the shooting, we came in, we closed it down, locked it up. Took a step back to reassess some of the protocols that we have in place, and also give the investigation time to take place.
Moreno also says the county hopes to invest in security improvements, including security, to be present at large events. No date has been set for when that community center will reopen, but the residents in the area hope it is soon. It's going to be another hot day today. Let's check that forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Another hot day today with a high near 98 degrees. Heat advisory in place. Temperatures overnight dropping near 77. For Friday, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 97. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Keeping small rain chances into the weekend with a 30% chance of rain. Temperatures dropping into the mid-90s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEART weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickett for traffic on the fives.
Well, I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now. Just a one little accident to let you know about, but it's causing no delays. Brent Lane and Rawson Lane right there around the I-10 exit on Brent Lane. No roadblock, minor delays again. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Well, it's 82 degrees right now, and there's sunny skies in Pensacola. 79 in Gulf Breeze and 81 in Milton at 7:35. The next news is at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. National Transportation Safety Board Chair Jennifer Homendy said Boeing retaliated against two employees who were likely involved in removing the panel that blew off a 737 MAX in January. Despite the plane maker's denial, Homendy told Boeing its decision to relocate the two employees from the door crew is a form of retaliation. Both workers are now on administrative leave. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon said he still believes the odds of a soft landing for the economy are no more than 40%, making recession the most likely scenario in his mind. Dimon added he was a little bit of a skeptic that the Federal Reserve can bring inflation down to its 2% target because of future spending on the green economy and the military. Futures are mixed as markets work to come back from Monday's global stock sell-off. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 234, the NASDAQ down 171. That's your money now.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools. Under my leadership, we have expanded our honors, advanced placement, and dual enrollment classes, started a middle school sports program, middle and high school orchestra program, girls beach volleyball program, and Santa Rosa is now a Space Florida Space Academy school district. Let's continue to expand the opportunities for our students. On August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
Welcome to the heart of farming season, brought to you by Parrish Tractor, formerly Coastal Machinery. Parrish is a family business with a heart for community, and through their products and services, they want people to feel connected to the land, to their work, and to one another. Parrish has everything from agricultural tools and resources to construction equipment, including rental solutions. With Kubota as their premier brand, they offer Kubota L-Series tractors, mowers, hay equipment, and more. Parrish Tractor, more than a tractor store. They're located on Mobile Highway in Pensacola and Ferdon Boulevard in Crestview.
Some candidates talk about change. While they talk, Commissioner Jeff Burgosh delivers. Real change that matters to citizens. New parks, roads, and sidewalks. More beach access, a new library and fire station. Record revenues, record property values, and higher pay for first responders. Commissioner Jeff Burgosh fights hard for the people of Escambia County and will never raise your property tax rates. Jeff has proven to be a conservative, tested, and trusted Republican leader. And he's being endorsed in this race by some of the most respected Republican in our county, including Sheriff Chip Simmons, State Representative Michelle Salzman, and Congressman Matt Gaetz. As your county commissioner, Jeff has worked tirelessly on behalf of the people of District 1 and Escambia County. On August 20th, re-elect the neighbor you know and the name you trust. Re-elect Jeff Burgosh. Read all of Jeff's endorsements, testimonials, and his strategic plan for District 1 at jeffburgosh.com. Keep leadership that delivers.
Paid for by Jeff Burgosh, Republican for Escambia County Commission.
Pep Talk, the Pensacola Expert Panel.
I have some great guests in here today with me. We're going to talk about bands on the bayou.
This is actually our third year, and we have three free concerts a year that are for the community, bringing in local musicians to support local nonprofits and are funded by...
The Pensacola Expert Panel, mornings 9 till 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's 7:37, and it's time to talk with our good friend Mike Woodley, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department, or as we acronym speak, the PPDPIO. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
It's because you speak like a normal person, which is the more appropriate approach to things. Hey, let's start with the good stuff. National Night Out y'all just did, right?
Yeah, not just us, police departments across the country, and we all did it at the same night and pretty much about the same time. It's been going on since the 80s. Very good turnout up at Roger Scott. Not only was the police department there, but there were service vehicles there, from the city and other organizations. But all the big trucks were there, the fire trucks, our vehicles, the canines were there. They did a canine demonstration. lots of kids and lots of adults showed up, so it was a good success.
Hey, look, an activity for the kids is always good for the parents, and an activity that portrays the good side of policing and gets them familiar with cops is a 100% win for everybody, in my opinion. You guys have had a couple of incidents in the last week or two. One, you had a somebody who was resisting a DUI, which is maybe not all that surprising, but this was extra bad, right?
Yeah, this was another perfect example of a misdemeanor traffic stop getting very quickly going to a felony for the individual involved. So he was stopped for DUI. He refused to exit the vehicle and began to fight with the officers. And one of our sergeants was struck in the face, and she slammed her head on the concrete during the struggle. So now charges, and she's going to be okay. She was treated and released from the hospital, but now the charges are very serious for this individual. And I've said this 100 times before, for the life of me, I cannot figure out why people would fight, because they're not going to win. I've been doing this for 36 years, and I've never seen a person fight officers, and then the officers just turn around and say, you know what, we're tired, we're going to let you go, have a nice day. You're going to go to jail. And there's no doubt about it, you're going to go to jail. And I don't understand why you would decide to fight. You need to save the fight for the courtroom, and that's where it belongs.
You know, it's one of these things, it's just a good reminder to me that you don't often see cops doing what they do, but being a cop means, unfortunately, physical force, you know, a lot of times, and getting in fights and then, you know, often getting injured and spraining thumbs. And in this case, you know, getting your head hit against the concrete. I mean, it can be very dangerous stuff. Also, always the risk that if you're a police officer involved in a scuffle, you know, if you get knocked out, then your gun, then your taser, I mean, all of that stuff. Was she, was the sergeant by herself, or did she have backup at the time?
There were other officers on the scene.
Okay. So good.
So it was, I don't know if she was the initial officer or not, but there were other officers on the scene. But, you know, when a fight breaks out like that, nothing good's going to come from it.
Which is another reminder of something you and I have talked about before, is people say, look, it's just a traffic stop. Why are there three cops there? Well, for reasons, you know, because it's always good to have an extra officer. Did she remain conscious the whole time? I mean, obviously getting your head hit against anything could happen, but you said she's recovering now and she's okay, but was she knocked out or was she not? I mean, is she okay to continue?
Yeah, she was. She would remain conscious and was checked out and is okay.
Good, man.
But,
scary stuff.
You know, this is, again, yeah, I don't understand why somebody's going to do something like that. And I'll say it 100 times. I'm sure we're going to be talking about it again, but fighting the police is just, it's a no-win situation for the individual, and it just makes things worse. Well, we understand nobody wants to go to jail, but if you're going to go to jail, just go and deal with the charges that we have, which, again, is usually misdemeanors, instead of making it much worse for yourself.
You know, my dad, who was a pastor in Detroit and used to do, he was police chaplain for a while, and, you know, he so used to ride with the cops a lot, and he said, so the way it was explained to me, this is my dad talking, the way it was explained to me is, we don't pay the police to lose street fights. You know, like that's kind of the point. You had a vehicle hit a house on Leonard Street, and unfortunately the driver passed away. Is that right?
Yeah, that happened in the 1800 block of West Leonard Street. The residents were all accounted for and uninjured, but the driver of this vehicle did end up passing away at the hospital, so we don't know if it was a medical emergency that caused this crash and ultimately caused the death, or if the death was from the crash itself, so that's still under investigation.
How often, if you had to judge it, are traffic incidents the result of people having medical incidents? You know, not drowsy driving, not drunk driving, not on their phone. Those are all, I mean, those are all things we know about. Not, you know, rain or something like that. But, I mean, because it seems like that's more common than you'd expect.
Well, if there's a spot between, it's not common, but it's not unusual, that's where I would put that.
Okay.
It happens. And, you know, people, human beings are human beings, and, and they have medical emergencies, and sometimes it happens while they're sleeping, sometimes it happens while they're walking, and sometimes it happens while they're driving.
Yeah. No, and it's one of those things, like I'm teaching one of my kids to drive right now, and I got to think about what are all the kinds of threats you need to consider, and that's, you know, the crazy thing can happen. And if somebody has a heart attack or a stroke in the car and you're driving near them or coming up on them, you always have to be prepared that anything can happen. And it's an awful thing when it does happen. You guys also had a really weird, could have been horrible story with somebody kind of evading arrest and trying to flee into a house. Is that right?
Yeah, one of our officers spotted an individual that he knew had felony warrants on him. He tried to get out with this individual, and he took off running inside the house to where there was a 11-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 5-month-old inside the house. They attempted to get him to come out of the house with calls on the PA system, and he would not come out. So there was another adult in the house that finally allowed the officers inside, where they found him hiding in a bedroom. But he grabbed the 5-month-old child and used that child as a shield. Now, this situation could get very ugly very quickly, and we are fortunate that it did not, that the individual decided to comply with commands to put the child back in the crib. So fortunately, there was no injuries, but that situation like that is one that that officers just – it's a nightmare that we hate to face, and fortunately, this one worked out well.
Okay, I must have blinked with my ears. Did he flee into his own house or into – was this like a home invasion?
It was a house he was familiar with. Now, I don't know if he lived there or not, if he was friends with the people inside, but it was a house that he was already at that the people inside know him and he knew them.
But
so,
not his child.
His home or not,
but not his own child. It was their child.
Well, it could be. Again, I don't have the information on whose child it was. I just know there were children in the house.
Still, man, frightening thing for your officers to encounter. So good work de-escalating, getting them talked down from that. Wow. Hang on for me for just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. John's got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, it's kind of funny, just John's doing the traffic report, and it got me thinking. I saw something yesterday that just blew my mind. And it wasn't in the city. It was just outside the city. It was in the county. It was at Bloodworth and Davis, which is right by the Texas Roadhouse. And, you know, if you are trying to go north on Davis, they tell you can't turn U-turn at the on-ramp, so you have to go to Bloodworth and make a U-turn there. So that's what I was doing. I was making a U-turn there, and the people across from me were making a turn as well. So we had our green arrows, and I thought nothing of it. I'm in the middle of my U-turn, and I see somebody come on Bloodworth going west towards Davis. And in the middle of our red lights that we're, or our green arrows that we're operating, so his red light just goes into the intersection, makes a left turn, and goes south on Davis Highway. And it's like one of those things, like you see people do crazy stuff and you think, did I just see that? I don't have a film of that, but oh my God. People do crazy stuff, Mike.
Yep.
I mean, they genuinely do crazy things that you would just never expect, right?
Yeah, well, you don't have to tell me. we see it all the time. And you know, Andrew, I pulled over people for flat running a red light. It wasn't close from going from yellow to red. It was a solid, what we call a stale red light for some time. This vehicle runs it, fortunately does not hit anybody. And then when we pull them over, the occupant actually, and you could tell, we get lied to so much, Andrew, we can tell when we're being told the truth. And you can tell by on this person's face, they actually had no idea why we were stopping them. They never saw the red light and went right through it. So things like that are common, and that's why body shops are in business, and unfortunately people get hurt because of situations like that.
Well, and you know, you taught us a thing a little while back where you said that when you're approaching a light, you're in the habit of saying red, red, red to yourself or green, green, green to yourself as a way of making sure you're paying attention, because anybody can be distracted and, you know, heightening your awareness so that you don't have those things slip. But, man, it's amazing. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for me today?
Yeah, this one is about why would a police officer follow you and then not pull you over? And there are a number of reasons for that.
Because I never do anything
wrong.
The
main ones are, yeah, okay. Right, yeah.
So, go on.
But be that as it may, the officer will follow you usually because they're waiting for your tag to come back. Maybe there was a crime that happened or some sort of incident that happened that involved a vehicle similar to yours, and when they find out they're behind the wrong car, they will turn off and continue looking for the right one. Another reason might be if you were distracted and maybe you crossed the center line and the officer is now behind you looking for a driving pattern for a possible DUI. So there's several reasons. Those are the two big ones. But if the officer, when the officer decides that this is not the vehicle I'm looking for, or this is probably not an impaired driver, they will turn off and go other places. Now, I can tell you that when an officer is behind you, 9 times out of 10, they're only looking at you because, just like you driving, they're making sure they don't hit you. You're always looking for the vehicle in front of you, anybody, to make sure you don't hit that vehicle. You put on the brakes when you're supposed to. And that's what the officers are doing 9 times out of 10. They're on their way to the station. They're on their way home. They're on their way to get lunch. They're not paying any attention to you except for the fact of maintaining distance to not hit you. So don't freak out when the officers are behind you. I know people do, but that's generally what's going on back there.
Okay, so I have a – like, you make me think of a question that I have to ask you. I know as an individual who is generally law-abiding and who loves police that when a cop is behind me, my heart rate elevates, my blood pressure goes up, my nervousness kicks in. I check around to make sure I'm not doing anything I shouldn't be doing because I shouldn't be. But anyway, you know, I hate it. And I love cops. I think people who don't love cops have a very different reaction. It's even worse than that. A, do y'all realize that's how we and B, do you get that when you're driving and a cop pulls up behind you, like you're in your regular vehicle, your civilian unit?
To answer your question is, yes, we understand people feeling that way. And that's what I was talking to you about earlier. But 9 times out of 10, we are not paying attention to you except for that you're a vehicle in front of us.
Yeah, you telling me that does not help. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, and B, I didn't figure it would, but B, do we get nervous when officers are behind me? I can't speak for all officers. I do not. It's another day at the office, or it's an officer behind me, which I don't think twice about it.
Yeah.
Because I pretty much know that he's not looking at me and he's probably on his way someplace. And yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Must be nice. I envy you that reaction. Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As Mike, thank you so much for the time, keeping us informed, keeping us safe, and giving us a chance to have a little bit of a laugh. I appreciate it, sir.
Yes, sir.
7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about a career change or just, I don't know, maybe getting a personal enrichment, you know, PSC has all kinds of classes that people take just for genuinely the interest in learning, you know, art history or music maybe, or literature or something, or you just want to take that random physics class, maybe not quite as common as the others, but okay. But my boys did, okay. They took their stuff that they got their prerequisites out of the way when they were in high school. They did dual enrollment at PSC, which is available to anybody who's in high school, as long as you qualify for admission, okay? But you can take classes and do high school credit and college credit at the same time. It's no charge because you're, you know, a school student, so it's paid for. No books. You don't have to pay for books. You know, it's all included. And the point is like for my students, you know, my kids, they were homeschooled, so getting that classroom experience and, you know, having to work with deadlines and being sort of on their own and following instructions, all that was all really good for them. But also, they went to UWF with a year and a half of college credit under their belt, which is super nice for them because they're going to be able to graduate earlier than they would otherwise do. PSC has been great. Great resource for my family. And I'm a big believer in community colleges. I taught at community college, state college, junior college, whatever you want to call it. They're fantastic because they're teachers. You know, it's people who want to teach the subject. Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
Candidate for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm running for our children, to protect their innocence, and to get back to educational basics without indoctrination. We also need to retain good teachers. I'm a Naval Academy grad, a 28-year combat vet, and Desert Storm Task Group commander and pilot. Children are our hope and future. I will defend them as I did our nation. Vote Rich in the August 20 primary.
Paid by Rich Holsnack, candidate for Escambia County School Board, District 4.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, during our biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Conservative Republican Walker Wilson, Escambia County's next generation of conservative leadership. Wilson is a fiscal conservative who will cut taxes to give hardworking families and seniors on fixed incomes relief from rising prices and make life more affordable. Wilson will invest in infrastructure projects to ease traffic congestion and upgrade our aging stormwater systems to protect our neighborhoods from flood risks. Walker Wilson will fully fund the Sheriff's Department to keep us safe, work to give the sheriff the power to enforce our immigration laws, and push to recover the millions of taxpayer dollars spent on benefits to illegal aliens. Walker Wilson has deep roots here and shares our North Florida small-town conservative values. Vote for conservative Republican Walker Wilson for Escambia County Commission, Escambia County's next generation of conservative leadership.
Paid by Walker Wilson, Republican for Escambia County Commissioner.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Meep, meep.
Good morning, 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. You're watching me dance to the Jars of Clay?
I was watching you dance. I was like, wow, I'm brother got some moves
I'm
over
always,
here.
Please. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to do like Austin and fake not sing at you. So, you know, that was so funny yesterday. Go ahead, sir.
I-10, I-110 looking good right now. There's an accident over in P Ridge right in front of the Walmart, but that's been moved over to the side of the road. There's no slowdowns there. Other than that, everything's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know, I've lived here 10 years.
Right.
In the entire time that I have lived here, I have never had any problem with any weird visualization of what was meant by P Ridge until just now when you said P Ridge, and now I'm thinking of a different spelling.
Well, that's how they say it, P Ridge.
Yeah, but it's the peas you eat, not anyway. I'm a 13-year-old in my head, and you all of a sudden made me think of that word in a different context with a homophone. So let's move on.
Oh boy,
7:56 on News Radio 92.3, and now there's 100 people out there who are having the same exact reaction. Oh, Andrew, I never thought of that. I know. You're welcome. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Oh, the mental image. Well, it looks like fewer Americans are seeking first-time unemployment benefits from the government. The Department of Labor says it received 233,000 initial requests at the week ending August 3rd, which is a drop of 17,000 from the previous week's revised total. And it was far less than the 240,000 most analysts had been expecting. So that's good news on the job front. Well, getting back to the Olympics, which is a lot of people are watching, looks like the U.S. women's basketball team blew out Nigeria 88-74 to advance to the semifinals in the Olympics. The ladies won their 59th straight Olympic game and will square off against Australia in the semifinals tomorrow. The U.S. men's basketball team's getting closer to their gold medal. Team USA is squaring off with Serbia today in the semifinals. It's the third time this year the two teams will go head-to-head, with the Americans winning both of the previous matchups, which includes a 110-84 victory in the first game of the group play in Paris. And, of course, the Olympics may be underway, but guess what? NFL football is back. Preseason week one begins today, with the Patriots hosting the Panthers and the Giants hosting the Lions, and both games start at 6 p.m., and that's what's happening.
Now, Steve,
Yep.
You said the NFL is back, but you also said it's preseason. Which one?
It's
which is
semi back?
It's either the NFL or it's the preseason. It cannot be both.
Well, it's the NFL preseason. Which
that does not
like
count.
The games that do not count.
Does
yeah,
not count. Right. No. That literally does not count in any way.
Practice games.
Steve, thanks for the update. As somebody who enjoys NFL games, the preseason is it's not football, not really. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. What was I going to tell you about? Oh, this is, you know, I found this like a week ago, and I just... Sometimes I find stuff, I post stuff, and I forget about it. There's a new sculpture coming to Bartram Park. It's called Learning to Fly. And Holly Benson, who does all kinds of stuff for local arts, paid for the sculpture, $87,000, donated $3,000 for the installation. The city is paying about $11,000 for the rest of the installation. It's a really cool sculpture. The best way I can describe it is, you know, the story of Icarus, okay, flying too close to the sun and having his wings melt. It very much feels like it's a statue of Icarus. It's not. It's of a boy in sort of a brown-colored bronze, I assume, with homemade wings and, like, branches holding them up, and he's going to jump off. It's a real... It's been all over the world, and it's now being relocated here, but I just think it's cool. It kind of it hints at Peter Pan, according to the artists. It hints at Icarus. It also hints at having three teenage boys like I've had, so very cool.
You're listening...